the comfort of your home, on your way to work, in the midst of your daily activities. Your Let's Talk Station is here to keep you informed. Only on your number one for talk, 95.1 Nigeria Info. Let's Talk.
Let's Talk.
Information and the right conversation are here on Nigeria Info.
How many is this type of wicked attack has affected in other parts of this country? So that what is this
I'm not supporting stealing, but these politicians need to be taught a lesson.
Your number one station for talk, Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
This is Hard Fact. This is Hard Facts. 95.1 Nigeria Info.
information and the right conversation are here on Nigeria Info.
How many is this type of wicked attack has affected in other parts of this country? So that was the reason I said.
I'm not supporting stealing, but these politicians need to be taught a lesson.
Your number one station for talk. Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
This is Hard Facts.
On 95.1 Nigeria Info.
Thank you so much for staying with 95.1 Nigeria Info. Welcome to your passionate, trustworthy and conversational radio. You know, we like to say on air, off air, online or on the street or wherever you find yourself. Nigeria Info is what it is. Number one, we keep the conversation going 24/7 and we're totally appreciative of you being a part of the conversation from the morning crossfire, what's happening Abuja, the Sunnyside show to this very moment, even when we hand the baton over to Football Frenzy and they do to Talk Night with Black Off, you're always around. I truly do appreciate you. Thank you so, so much. And sure hope you're having a pleasant day. The weather is amazing. Can't complain about that. I sound very British even talking about the weather. I heard it like, top of the morning to you.
Right.
I the weather. And I don't talk about the weather.
I think the weather this week has been fair.
Yeah.
And I think it understands what's happening in Nigeria and is trying to treat everyone right. So, but thankfully it feels good this Thursday and we're happy to have you on the show. We have the roundtable right now. We'll see what's trending across various platforms in Nigeria. There's so much happening as always. The countdown to the inauguration, handing over the baton to a new administration right now. And the president has stated that he's somewhat overwhelmed by the pressure, the last minute pressure as to things that need to be done. But he stated that he's going to work until the very last day. And we've seen so much happen in the past few days. And you wonder, so this much can happen in such a short time. But it's interesting that he's focused on delivering just so that nobody disturbs him when he goes back to Daura. That's what he says.
And then I noticed a lot of people are talking on social media, even though it was one of the stories we also talked about Doldo in passing when we talked about that Nigerians were happy with the border closure. And then he did say from the clip we played that he will go back to his country home, and if you guys want to bother him too much, his
Niger will defend him.
And he perhaps might even go there. So there's a lot of people talking and all what man. But you know what? The man said what he said with his full chest. You know, the camera was there when he was there.
And he wasn't joking this time.
It wasn't. You know, the first time we made an excuse, like, perhaps it was a joke. I mean, he read the room and decided, let me just drop it like it's hot. It's a joke for people to, like, laugh over. But this time around, he looked you in the eye and said it. So it means he doesn't want to be bothered one bit.
Well, he's emphasized how he's been able to build relationships with other countries. And
he did mention any other country except for Nigeria.
But in terms of Niger, but he built with Benin and the likes of them, Cameroon as well. So he's just saying
his relationship is just around our neighboring country. He didn't travel far with his relationship. But he built with London.
He travels far.
Solid relationship. A lot of our resources, thanks to medical tourism, went there. So. I mean, even the Archbishop of Canterbury is his buddy, like they are chummy.
That's interesting.
He built that one.
So if you decide any further from Niger, he's going to
Jakba. And he can go with his dependent.
No,
he's not
going
on his student visa. All right, we're counting on to the 29th of May when President Buhari will take a bow, leave the stage and usher in a new sheriff, passing of Bola Ahmed Tinubu. And we hope he comes in with some bit of good tidings. All right, welcome to the show. My name is Kimberly Nwachukwu. Call me Kim, the Oracle. That's the digital Oracle. OTF, Madam Speaker, the Fellow, and Oshanyawa of Nigeria Info. It's growing on me. I didn't ask first, but right now I'm getting to accept
it. Sounds really good. You say it, yes. Welcome, my name is Itodo. You can call me the Deacon and anything else that you decide to add to it, but I am the Agaba Idu one.
Yeah.
Of Wanini.
Okay, people, we'll take a look at some of the big stories driving conversation. If I ask you, what story have you been talking about? What do you consider one of those major talking points for today? I bet one or two of those stories will make the cut from what we're talking about on the roundtable today, because it's usually the story of the day. As they develop, as things evolve, we'll bring it, we'll bring guests to talk with us. However, today we do not have a guest with us. But one thing we do have is our streaming on YouTube is on already at Nigeria Info Abuja. We're also on Facebook, I think.
Yes,
at
we are.
Nigeria Info Abuja. You can go check us out, join the conversation, leave your comment. You know, there's a lot of conversation that goes on YouTube and Facebook. When we're talking, people are talking with each other. So it's a community on its own that you should join and leave your thoughts and interact with other Nigerians as much as you're doing that with us. So we'd love for you to join us online. All right. Starting with the story, guess who's making a promise before he's even sworn in not to disappoint you? You guess right, Bola Tinubu. Let's get the details.
All right, President-elect Bola Tinubu on Thursday in Abuja said he will not disappoint the trust conferred upon him by the President, Muhammadu Buhari, and millions of Nigerians. He also affirmed that he understands the magnitude of the honor conferred upon him and the corresponding task ahead. Tinubu made the promise in his acceptance speech after he was conferred with the national honor of Grand Commander of the Federal Republic at the State House Banquet Hall in Abuja. He says, and I quote, "I understand the magnitude of the honor conferred on me today and the task ahead. Nigerians deserve no less." Now, Thursday's conferment makes Tinubu the sixth person to hold the GCFR honor. Those before him are Nnamdi Azikiwe, Obafemi Awolowo, Shehu Shagari, Olusegun Obasanjo, Abdulsalam Abubakar, Ibrahim Babangida, Ernest Shonekan, Sani Abacha, Moshood Abiola, Umaru Yar'Adua, and Goodluck Jonathan. Buhari also conferred Vice President-elect Kashim Shettima with the honor of Grand Commander of the Order of the Niger. Earlier, he handed three key transition documents to the President-elect in line with Executive Order 14, mandating the Transition Council to issue handover notes containing, amongst other things, proposed policy direction to the incoming administration. Now it's done or not, that we're ready to change administration and things are going to move from what we're used to a brand new person.
Hopefully something better. Yeah. That can only be positive. For some reason, you know, when you're talking about the highest honor conferred, you left out the pre-colonial ones that we saw, but, you know, looking at, you know, go down a bit.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. We have other people as well. We have the British monarch, Queen Elizabeth II, South Africa's Nelson Mandela, and former Libyan leader.
You know, Muhammad the curious Gaddafi. Part for me is the Muhammad Gaddafi part, how he got it. So I mentally told myself I'm going to go back and read up on it and why we have conferred that honor. But take it or leave it, Muhammad Gaddafi was an influential African leader. It was unpopular in some quarter based on the fact that it was a dictatorship, it was high-handed, but he was also one who you would say unarguably came up with some very, it might be unpopular to the West, but within the continent and for his country, held the country together, brought some level of prosperity. But the sit-tight attitude and the fact that he was coming a little too assertive apparently became a problem inside for the people who felt we needed a change of government, and to the West who thought maybe he was stepping his bound at that point in time. But it would be nice to, you know, go back and understand why we conferred one of the highest. Nelson Mandela, he was getting that accolade everywhere, yes, you understand. Queen Elizabeth, I mean, our colonial leader, she was there at that point in time. But Muhammad Gaddafi is one to read up on. And, I mean, you look at the fact that we've had people have held this office as president or heads of state are the ones conferred with this, and it's part of the ceremony. And towards the grand finale, which is the 29th of May, to officially say this man can no longer be referred to as president-elect, is now formally the president of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. And at that point, eyes will be on him from when he sneezes. Well, we've been scrutinizing his every move from the minute he indicated interest, even before he won the ticket in the party level. He's been heavily scrutinized. As a matter of fact, he's one of the presidential candidates, I would say, a lot of things came out about him to the fore, from the drug allegation to his schooling, who are his classmates. A lot of things were unearthed when a lot of questions were asked when Bolamide Tinubu threw his hat in the ring that he wanted to vie for this particular office.
Yes.
So that scrutiny has been very intense, and it would be interesting to see what dimension would take with it. And I think this time it will be focused more on his policy direction, his governance strategy, and whatever idea he would put on the table. The first few days critical to knowing how even the media are going to evaluate him and Nigerians are going to perceive him. I feel the pressure on his shoulder already, but then he should know also the gravity that comes with the job.
For anybody who contests the position, you would assume that they have an idea what they're getting into. So it's no surprise at all when you win, because you were running in that race to win eventually. So you should have your plans in place and not be surprised or overwhelmed. But looking at what he's stepping into, the economy, insecurity and all of that, Nigerians are expecting a whole lot. And he's reassuring us that he is ready for the job. He's not going to disappoint us. Nigerians have had too many promises, and these days it's hard to even believe anything that they're told. So it's more about the action and how he intends to achieve these things, as opposed to just saying it. So when he gets sworn in May 29th, we'll get to understand in what direction he plans to start with and how far he's willing to go with all of this. Because right now we don't need any more promises. We need to see action, and the change needs to be immediate. Yes.
All right, what changes are we going to see in the first month of office, in the first 100 days of office, in the first year, if he gets there, of the life of his administration? It'll be interesting to see. But in all of it, we're rooting for him, for Nigerians' sake, that he does it right, and that he hits the ground running, that he brings the country together. I mean, Dr. Majid will always say about that importance of bringing everybody together. The minute a group starts to feel like they're excluded from, you know, the scheme of things, there's always that tendency. It comes in the form of self-defense, like you want to put up a front for yourself, but then it can also constitute some sort of aggression in different ways and resistance to whatever policy you bring. So let's hope that he's able to correct some of the mistake of President Buhari's administration, the mistake of 95% and 5%, which he translated into beyond words to how he constituted his cabinet and setting appointments down to the security chiefs that he was heavily criticized for. Even the initial handling of security in the country, when we started having the narrative from the government of it being a farmer headers conflict instead of, you know, a wipeout of communities. People should not be in their communities and, you know, have their lives threatened or their properties destroyed by people who are passing through. And because there was just that inconsistency as to where, how do we drive this? Because if you have a consistent narrative, you know how to approach it. But when the government is saying this is what it is, they apply some bit of levity in their approach, and then the media and the government, for example, Benue State, say no, this is more serious than that. They're wiping out people and they're claiming spaces and encroaching in people's community. It's a different approach, and we saw that conflict between them. So let's hope that Bola Ahmed Tinubu, once he comes into office, understand the need to try to bring the country together and sort of heal that wound and the bad blood and negative energy around us, so that we don't spend the next few years talking about religious issue that hope to God he has a strategy of mending.
But something else that is important to note is the Nigerians really know what they want in terms of what things would he do or put in place that would impress you and let you know that he's working. Because there are those who would say the president right now, Buhari, did his very best and impressed them, while others would say he did nothing in the 8 years that he was in power. So the question is, what would you expect of the incoming president that would assure you that he's keeping to the promise which he's made, and not have you asking constant questions and throwing jabs because you feel he's not doing enough or not doing anything at all in the time that he'll be in office?
Well, we'll give him the benefit of doubt. At least the first few days of his administration, we're going to just quietly observe, take note, and just, you know, just give that breathing space, as long as it doesn't give us too much reason to go all out.
Like when
we'll give him the breathing space for the first 30 days and see how he goes.
Okay, let us know what your thoughts are about this. We've got more stories coming through for you. You can join in. We're live right now on YouTube and Facebook at Nigeria Info Abuja. Do well to subscribe to our YouTube channel. John Owede says, I'm here. I'm not sure why you're screaming, but we like the fact that you were part of the conversation today.
Did you ignore Hajara, Ibrahim Hajara?
Yes, pardon me.
With your emojis, we love it. We look forward to it every day. And Puadum D. Oko says, great job, guys. K, my birthday mates, I twirly always. Joseph Chinago, good afternoon, Hashtag 16. Good afternoon to you as well. If he likes, come on now. We talk about breathing space. Mommy Gio and Presidente Todo. I'm with you live, but the network is not good enough. Pastor TJ from Dubai. All right, let's see what's happening on Facebook.
Prince Ogena Mwalova Adra says, is he sure of that? I'm just thinking, Prince Ogena, okay, the same person. Kiyama is not fair to the office he held for 8 years. And we have Omase Patrick, it's one of the black men with who wears black. Kim, you guys are doing great. Thank you very much. Audrey from where? Oh, he's in Abuja here with us. And we have several messages on WhatsApp also. Tope, I'm sure, will be one of them. I'm correct. Politicians and promises. We're tired of promises unfulfilled. They should get to work after inauguration, says Tope. And anyway, Arinze, listening for Mebonyi State Capital of Abakeleke, says President-elect Tinubu should understand that people like me, I have no more surprises. I miss Abuja anyway. We miss you also. Under Tinubu, I don't see much in terms of good. Okay, all we want to see under Tinubu is nothing but good governance. And on those who are still arguing on his status as president elect, I believe they're not being realistic. If we should sit for an exam and they ask who is the president elect of Nigeria, you provide any other answer aside that you fail. You should learn to be realistic and pursue politics of bitterness and togetherness as a nation, Oludade said. My own is that I wish Nigeria good luck. Emmanuel from Buhari. We can only hope for the best, honestly, at this point for our country, Nigeria. Let's go on to another story. And health situation crisis looms as health workers begin indefinite strike. The Joint Health Sector Union, JOHESU, have asked its members to embark on an indefinite strike. And according to reports, Obinna Ogbonna, the National Vice President of JOHESU, gave the directive today at a press briefing. That it has become imperative to inform you that since the federal government is yet to meet these demands, our members have been directed by JOHESU National Executive Council to proceed on an indefinite strike action upon expiration of the ultimatum by midnight of today, the 25th of May, 2023. In a letter dated 9th of May, the leadership of JOHESU has issued a 15-day ultimatum to the federal government over alleged inconsistencies in the ongoing negotiations to adjust the consolidated health salary structure. The union said the federal government had a penchant for shifting from agreed terms and rules of engagement relating to non-discrimination in the determination of wages and benefit package of health workers. Just a call for the adjustment of the health salary structure as agreed in term of the settlement of September 2017, and the union asked for the payment of peculiar allowance to health workers. Other demands include payment of all withheld salaries of their members in Federal Medical Center in Owerri, Jos University Teaching Hospital, Lagos Teaching Hospital, and their withheld April and May 2018 salaries. Speedy adjustment of retirement age from 60 to 65, and the exclusion of some health workers in the payment of new hazard allowance as well as payment of COVID allowance balance. I cannot believe that they are still be owed that amount of money. But they're putting the demand at this point, and this is coming just in the wake of the resident doctor strike that he called off after a warning strike, which is still pretty much hanging over our heads, saying we're going to just give everybody some breathing space and then reconvene afterwards or call another strike if these issues are not addressed. And you can see that they're all lingering. 2017, 2018 issues have been brought to the table on several occasions. So this government is leading. One would say, is it good timing? I mean, a new government is coming in. They will just want to be sure of, see, we're striking, you know, these are the things that you attempt to in the first few days in office. See how you can address some of our issues. So it might seem like, you know, well-calculated timing for your strike to happen. On the other front, oh well, it's an inconvenience for people who would need their services at this point in time.
Now, the issue,
they do go on the 40-day strike as their...
The constant with all of these strikes that happen, you know, every now and again in Nigeria is the pay, the take-home pay of the workers. Even though JOHESU is making, they're making other demands as well as the things they want to see, and they're hoping that the government pays attention. But seeing that in the past few days,
this administration has been really active in terms of delivering on some of its promises as well as listening to those who are having complaints. I'm sure they're hoping that they would also be putting through whatever plans that, that they have to ensure that they're able to deal with whatever issues and hand over in a proper way, because it would be unfair wherein a new administration is coming in and this is the first thing that meets them, one of the first things that gets to them. It might be a bit overwhelming. What would this do in the timeline that they are on strike to the health sector in Nigeria? How would those affected be able to deal with it? And if indeed their demands are met, what is to say this will not happen again in future, because it's not the first time.
Oh yes, natural quality cornflakes are so full of nourishing goodness because they are whole flaked cornflakes. Whole flaked cornflakes are made by a natural flaking process that retains all the natural goodness of the whole corn for whole nutrition, whole taste, and whole crunchiness of the whole family. So next time you're eating cornflakes, make sure it's whole flaked Nasco cornflakes. Nasco cornflakes, nourishing goodness anytime.
Alright, thank you so much for staying with us. And yes, Itodo, you were abusing on a point.
Yeah, I was talking about the effects of what this would have, this strike action. But then again, it's in a bid for the government to do right by those who are working. They demand, they are to be treated right. But there's something that the president-elect mentioned during the last May Day celebration, where he spoke about the living conditions, living wages, and was going to ensure that workers are treated in the best way possible, even though that would take drastic measures or involve drastic measures if that were to be put in place. Now, you would ask, what is a good enough living wage in 2023?
Yeah.
Going by what is happening in Nigeria, everything has gone up. Inflation is really crazy right now. So your take-home pay in the last 1 year, right now comparing it, it might mean nothing to you, and it means like you're struggling or working overtime or working multiple jobs just to be able to keep up with the times, which is a bit worrisome. So let's hope that when he comes in, the promise he made May 1st is not lost in translation and he's able to make a change as soon as possible, which is what I'm hoping that they are looking forward to.
Yeah, I'm sure it's also time to go back and interrogate every bit of, in terms of the manifesto, the promises being made, and look at the ones that are trying specifically to the health sector to addressing pressing needs within the sector. Because, you know, this pay, remuneration and the likes of it is one recurring decima that we see whenever this, as a matter of fact, when we talk about health and education, it's always about their pay, welfare, and then the bigger picture of the general state of either education or health in the country that we have to look at. And I think these are areas we need to prioritize. We should get to a future where it would not just be a constant to hear that health workers or lecturers are striking. It should be something that when they intend to strike, it will hit us as being odd and unusual. And it's not just Nigeria. Yes, I know you take us back to the UK where recently we've seen health workers and nurses protest. We've heard of migration of health workers for better work environment. It's natural, but then you don't get to hear every quarter or every other quarter that they are striking there. It's usually something very pressing that brings them out on the street. So let's hope that we get to the point where the frequency of the strike will be reduced. So all eyes on you, sir, as you come on board to addressing these grievances. And I think it's well timed to say these are the issues we should prioritize when you come into office. All right. Those are some of the stories we're looking at. Just before we get to open up the phone lines and read more of your messages, Festus Keyamo, Minister of State for Labour and Employment, says the concept of Minister of State is a constitutional aberration. Was he not Minister of State, or is he not Minister of State?
Well,
so
still
he has
is.
Been an aberration, his office all this while.
Why wait until the very tail end to report that? And would you refund all of your salaries from the time?
He has to wait all his tenure to realize, like, oh dear, this office I occupied all this while, and all the ideas and policies I put forward. An aberration? Why giving a valedictory speech at the presidential bill on Wednesday, Keyamo said that raising the issue did not mean he was ungrateful. Minister said he was attempting to solve an anomaly that has existed for a long time, noting it was his own way of contributing to constitutional development. Mr. President, the concept or designation of Minister of State is a constitutional operation and is practically not working for many so appointed. Quoting Section 147 and 148 of the Constitution, Keyamo explained how appointments were made and the responsibility of ministers of the Federation were defined, and added that the seventh schedule to the 1999 Constitution provides an oath of office to which each minister must subscribe, and that a minister and a minister of state take the same oath of office. It said ministers designates are cleared by the Senate as ministers, not as ministers in some instances and ministers of state in some other instances. And some may want to justify this by saying the president is given the discretion by the constitution to assign whatever responsibility he likes to ministers. Yes, I concede Mr. President can do that, but not by a designation different from that prescribed by the constitution. Ministers sit in cabinet as the eye of the president in each state of the federation. It is therefore against the intent of the drafters of our constitution for a representative of a state to be reclassified as against another representative of another state. That the schedule of duties of ministers and ministers of state I intend to cure some of these anomalies hardly help the issues. Firstly, the schedules of duty are observed more in breach by the permanent secretaries and directors who really cannot be expected to serve two masters. And in any case, many of the roles of both ministers are so ambiguous that the bureaucrats will always interpret them to satisfy the ones they see as the senior minister or main minister for fear of being persecuted by them. And secondly, part of the schedule of the duties seem to suggest that a minister can delegate function to the minister of state. This is a constitutional impossibility. It is only Mr. President that can delegate presidential power, as one cannot delegate what he does not have. Can I also say the ambiguity and confusion caused conflict between the ministers and the minister of state? And I'm sure he's speaking out of experience being minister of state himself. I've heard some subtle conflict of interest as to, well, you can't delegate me. I'm representing my state. I'm a minister just like you. I'm not a junior minister. And perhaps trying to correct it at this point in time. Like you pointed out, interesting that he had to wait till this point to draw attention to it. But then, it's also one to say, how do we correct it if constitutionally every state is to present a minister? Number of states, we have to create how many ministries, not to have minister of state, or what does it just call them two ministers in one ministry? I will also see that conflict of interest.
Does it make any difference referring to them as deputy minister? Because the minister in charge,
he
is a deputy.
The exception to it. As an
but he's not the only one who is making this known. Yeah. The minister of state for the SCT, Ramatu Tijani, outrightly confessed for the scrapping of the portfolio by the next administration, stating that it limits capacity and talent. So there's so much that you can do. You might have ideas as to what you want to do, but then you're not able to achieve those things. But the question right now will be, in the timeline that they have been Minister of State, have they been able to achieve anything? What have they been able to achieve in that timeline? And why did they wait until now to point this out? Because changes could have been made. The cost of governance could have been adjusted or worked on, because that's what Nigerians.
But then how do you adjust it? Because we're also going to look at that provision that states should have that representation. I mean, that's one area where people are saying, even when President Buhari was appointing, I'm so saying, but didn't have ministers from everywhere. Say, yeah, constitutionally. I mean, it's mandatory that states should present, you know, their representative in that point of appointment. So if you're saying that this issue of deputy minister, which I try to understand where he's coming from in terms of the conflict of interest and knowing how we operate in Nigeria, you say, senior minister, even with the National Assembly, referring to the Green Assembly as the lower chamber, you get to hear some people say, no, don't say the lower chamber. We're just closer to the grassroots. You have a bit more representation coming from there. It doesn't make it less than what is obtainable in the red chamber. So to reduce them as a lower chamber, is unacceptable. I've heard legislators say that you can't refer to the House of Rep as a lower chamber. It's a green chamber, different from the red chamber, and that they are supposed to work together. But there's always that tendency, even in the public service, the bureaucracy and all of that, to know, see main minister, see the minister of state,
is a little
less than that. And then the responsibility, half of it, except is delegated. It is at the door and the table of the main minister. So I can understand some of the challenges that they're observing, obviously last minute, saying, we need to find a way to correct this so that we can also perform. Because sometimes you feel as if you're encroaching into the space of the minister as a minister of state. But then if you have good working relationships, synergy, isn't that where it's supposed to rub mine, two heads better than one kind of situation?
Now, speaking about representation, which is going to be a bit of concern, would you be more bothered about not being represented or the fact that there's a change going on, that things are working just fine, whether you have your person from your state at the helms of affair or not? I mean, we've got the governor, we've got other positions right there who are there to ensure that the state works just fine. So would not having a minister of state make any difference in the grand scheme of things? What exactly are we worried about? What do we want to achieve?
We are not worried about it. It's people who brought it are concerned about how it affects their duty and their function. One thing I know for sure, with Nigeria and seeing how our peculiarities, if you get to the point where you say you're going to handpick some state and say, okay, this region produced two ministers, we're going to have issues to saying, no, we need to have us represented also. I mean, you know this country too well. So how then do we resolve this to correcting what they've observed? It's not going to be a matter of would it affect you if you don't have a minister or not. People will still tell you that every region have got capacity and competence. So to leave one place out, on what ground? So
let's see what happens.
How would they? Do we have what? How many states? Number of ministers to cover all of that? Or is it just in the title to say refer to both of them as ministers? Then who answers to who? And who do they? Who do people? I think it would even be a bit more confusing if you say you have two ministers in a ministry.
It all boils as the title came, minister and deputy. Makes no difference. You're delivering on the job. Mm-hmm. You're good at what you do. If you're able to deliver, nobody cares about your title. It's about what you bring into the table, which should be what's important to Nigerians right now. So let's hope they're able to sort this out in good time. And good thing that he pointed it out, regardless whether it's in good time or not, he's been able to draw the attention of the president to this. And let's hope that they work on it and sort it out.
I doubt if it's the president who's already on his way out, but for the minutes, for the president coming in.
Well, it's got a few days.
So he can't do anything about this. This is supposed to be handing over right now.
He says work till the very end. You know, he refused to dissolve his cabinet.
A lot of people are saying, okay, that's quite interesting. All right, let's get your take on the stories you've looked at. Call us up on 0700-951-0000 or you can call 0809-5974-869 or 0809-993-0137.
Welcome to you.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
We can hear you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Kim and Itodo.
Welcome.
I'm Ali. I'm calling you from Mabuchi right now.
Go ahead.
Ali, good to hear from you again.
Thank you, my sister. I think I read what Kamu wrote yesterday, and my comments were, I just wrote, brilliant. I think he made a very brilliant presentation. I have to wait in makes it even much better, because if he had maybe declined or protested when he was assigned the so-called junior minister portfolio, people would say, that's Keyamo, he's not level-headed, he's this, but he had to serve out his term, and then he's now drawing attention to it. So it makes it even selfless on his part, because he's only saying, please don't continue with this practice, because he's going to shortchange the states that are affected. And it's also going to demoralize the ministers that are so assigned the junior minister portfolio. Now, you were saying that you do your work and then you leave the rest. But you see, this is public service. If you experience what goes on in the public service, you'll appreciate what he's saying. If you are so labeled junior minister, minister of state, whatever it is, so it shall be with you that you are not going to be treated on equal basis with your so-called senior minister. And to say that you are screened the same way, you are representing a state, you are of the same status, and just because of this categorization, then you are denied everything. You can't even go to the Federal Executive Council. You can't submit memo except with the express permission of your minister. So I think he has done the right thing. He has served out his term, and he's now drawn the attention of the incoming administration to this anomaly. And he also made suggestions how it can be addressed. He said, look, rather than...
Uh-oh, Ali, thank you very much.
Welcome to you. Hello? Good afternoon. Welcome. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Ivy.
Fine and well.
Welcome, Mr. Isolio.
Welcome to you.
These people were in government. It's not their fault. It is the system. They are trying to wind the car walking up. I am not talking and Kayamo. Is it today they know what they are talking about? Okay, if they want to tell us that they are lobbying of that, they should show all the benefits, all the salary that they have collected. I didn't blame them. They are boxing somebody. Because when we are talking about acting, I know what I'm saying. Look at their statement. What are they trying to say right now? That means he does not know what is your word. Now, how many ministries do we have?
But this goes beyond Buhari's government. It's something we've done consistently over time.
Thank you. Why is it now? They are saying, where are they? Are they not in the same government? Are they not in the same minister? Or maybe tell them, who give them minister in next time and they will be sent out. Maybe that's what is in their mind. I don't understand. How many ministries do we have? We hear that we have 8,000 agents. What is their work? And in the constitution, they say that this provide for one minister. What are they want us to do? All this is
supposed to happen. All right.
So what are they saying? It's not their fault to...
All right, Adewumi.
Welcome to you.
Hello, Isolo.
Yes, good afternoon.
I greet Sister Kim. My name is Goodluck.
Welcome, Goodluck.
I will not disappoint, said by President-elect. So, I don't have much to say, but we know that Buhari told us that it's for everybody. And for nobody, but you see how everything went throughout his administration. For me, I don't believe that Tinubu will do anything because he was the leader of APC, and also he was in this government until we find ourselves. And even the
if you're saying he's in the government, that would be incorrect. But if you say he's a member of the party, the ruling party, then that would be correct. Yes, so saying he's in the government is to say that he has some direct responsibility, which he didn't have.
Okay, he's the leader of APC, so he knows everything about the.
He's the leader of APC. He's an elder statesman. He's a member of the party. They have the chairman of the APC. You have the highest holding officer as President Buhari, but then Tinubu will take that responsibility at this point in time. But at that point, he was just a party member.
Kim, you cannot tell that you don't know anything about this APC, how they and how things are moving in this country. He knows everything, and look at his vice. We will not forget in hurry. The Chibo gas issue, and if you look at Nigeria now, these are not the kind of people we need now. I'm saying it, and I have to say it again that I will not support this government. Even if they are doing well or not doing well, I will not support this government because you're not credible.
Okay,
you're not credible.
Well, you're entitled to how you feel about it.
About welcome to you. Yeah. Good afternoon. Hello.
Good afternoon to you. Good afternoon to
you.
And I think it's Ocha
Nyawanini or something. Very Ocha Nyawanini.
Is that correct?
Ocha Nyawan of Nigeria Info. But Wanini can constitute something interesting. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, you Kim.
Good afternoon.
The Oracle 1. they know the two, now only one for this life. My name is Tosi. How you guys doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I want to take a little bit of what the last caller said. I'm not very comfortable with the fact that this decision the president made when he said that the incumbent should continue from where he stopped. I think there's something, if you go by how we feel about generally about the doings in the administration and the way that it has robbed us from Nigeria generally, he said we do want a continuation from where they stopped. that's a question, a rhetorical question. You think about it and assess what you want. I personally wouldn't. I feel that for the Mr. Keyamo, who said that it's an anomaly or it's unconstitutional for him to be having Minister of State and a minister. I feel, I want to draw a reference from the United States. They have secretary and they have undersecretary of state. And I think there's no aberration or any anomaly or unconstitutionality there. I think we should look at it from that light. You have, Kim, I don't know much about governance, but I think each of those portfolios have their specific functions.
Oh, yeah.
For us as a people, because of our diversity and the fact that we are drawn along the lines of tribe, of ethnicity, and of course religion, and so on and so forth, we bring all these mannerisms into function of state. And at the end of the day, when such interests right above function or capacity, end of the day, what do we have? We have a government or institutions or departments or agencies, ministries that do not function the way they should. So this is our problem. I don't know how they're going to solve it. So God be the glory. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, Ozie. Welcome to you.
Hello, this is Itodu.
Good afternoon.
The Agaba is the one. The Otenya one.
You're welcome.
The Oracle.
I agree.
The Oracle is the digital Oracle, not the local one.
You're welcome. You. Thank you.
You know, me, I have high expectations from this government. Number one, if this government can be able to rescue Lia Sharibu, I will clap hands for them. If this coming administration would be able to rescue the people in captivity, all the people in captivity, I want a country that I will travel without having fear of anything. And most especially in the aspect of economy, we just finished a conversation with what about the interest rate again, rising by this CBK governor. You can imagine the impact on the lives of citizens. So me, my expectation that I'm having for them, because whoever that be the president, I will expect much from him. Because I believe that nobody has the authority without God's permission. Even at that day of announcing the election, if God decided that nothing will happen, God has the means of doing that. Remember the story of King Herod. When they praised him, they praised King Herod instead of Herod. Remember that there is God. Herod wanted to take the place of God. What did happen to Herod? He was knocked down and was eaten up by worm there. Because he wanted to take the glory. So God allowed everything to happen for a purpose. So for that, I'm expecting, and when they do wrong, we will still call and say, this is the promises you people made. You say you are going to do this, you are going to do this, and we are not seeing it. So we will challenge them, we will ask them, and they should need to do that. Thank you so much, I appreciate it.
All right,
let's hear another caller quickly. Hello?
Hello, good afternoon. This is Ayo calling from Uye right now.
Did you say Ayo?
Agaba is the one.
Welcome to you, Ayo.
Oh, Ayo.
Thank you. And I believe, and I so much believe that this incoming administration will do very well. Because, you know, what makes me believe in that direction is that the way that incoming administration comes into power, many of us will believe that it's possible, and they will try by all possible ways to prove us wrong. And what I'm expecting from this incoming administration to perform more than expectation is that I want them to cause that open grazing so that my people back from my home state will have their land and go back to farm. Because the killings are becoming too many. Thank you so much.
All right.
Fair enough. Victor says, why didn't Keyamo reject the Minister of State position for 4 years and enjoyed all the largesse that comes with the position? And Joseph Afieda, I greet you. We already have seen so much under this administration. So he doubts that the incoming will make much of a difference. No wonder this program is tagged Hard Facts, says Joseph Chinago. For me, it's that Tinubu becomes Nigerian president with all of the controversy around the election. And Joy John Owede. I don't believe him. I doubt much will come out of it, so being skeptical still.
Alright, on Facebook right here, Jeff says, because of Nigeria Info, I had to struggle to get an Android phone to connect with you. Thank you for doing that. For Tinubu, I believe that he will deliver Nigeria from some other problems, but not all of them. Jeff from Benue, formerly Apo Abuja, he moved. Isiaka Abdul Aziz says, good afternoon to you, watching from Suleja. So hello to you, Chukwudi Elijah, as well. Thank you for joining the conversation. Let's see what you're saying on Facebook right now. What is Keamo saying? He accepted a job that was based on aberration. Can he return whatever he has gotten from this position? If a man of integrity like Udo Udoma can reject Minister of State during the OBJ's administration, why can't he? And that is Leo right there. Good afternoon. Facebook Keamo accession is not in any way for the interest of Nigerians. It is because there is... What stopped him from saying this before now? Maybe the fear of removal? God is watching all of us. Robert Ogaku from One Man Village. And Prestige Nkubua says, I don't think the outgoing president is totally incapable of doing stuff. Okay. Alright, thanks for your thoughts right there. And this one from Jacob Odeh in Madala. When you have enough to offer and you are constitutionally restricted on the account of where you are placed, you can never be comfortable and represent well. I now see the angle Festus KMO is coming from.
It does actually have an angle if you really want to look at it. How I can see how even with public servants, you respond to the two ministers. And if you have an idea that you want to bring and all of that. But I don't think also it's the most difficult thing to resolve. Perhaps the designation and then well defined in terms of their responsibility, which is stepped out, you know, your jurisdiction and all of that.
Now, we see two ministers saying the same thing, using the same language in terms of not being able to deliver because of where they are placed. Now, this could be one of the reasons why they are unable to deliver some of the things that they have been mandated to do. And it's important that this is looked into and to ensure that there is no conflict of interest, because the worry is that you have to go through the minister the minister before you're able to achieve anything, and you may not get the approval that you're looking for to wherein you are a minister yourself.
So maybe don't hate too much of the messenger. Let's look at the message and interrogate how we can get better out of the people appointed at the end of the day. Let's get to hear this call.
Welcome to you.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Sodo and Kim.
Welcome.
Yeah, this is Mary from Gwalada.
Go ahead, Mary.
Versus Keamo, I want to say that he has been in this government. And if he knows that this, he didn't know that he was not going to have the powers to exercise what he should. If not, I would have expected him to advise from the beginning. Because even when before Buhari came in, Buhari said he was going to reduce the workforce in, workforce in the federal government. It's like they were spending too much. And this creation of this and this is what was making them spend too much. And so when it comes in, it was going to clone down on the size of appointees. But when it came, we saw that he expanded instead of cutting down. And as people who are in the party, I expected him to have said, okay, don't create more offices so that we don't enlarge the size of appointees. But he didn't do that. Perhaps he has tested it and he has seen that, okay, you actually do not have the power to do what you are supposed to do as a junior minister or as a minister of state. That's why he's saying it. So what I consider as integrity is for you to say something, whether it affects you or not, say it. Even if they don't take it, if he had said this from the beginning and they know, and he takes it, they would have said, okay, he said it from the beginning. They didn't say it. So he has gone to enjoy the largesse that comes in the office. Maybe he's afraid he will be appointed a minister of state again. So he doesn't want to be appointed minister of state again, so he's raising alarm before time. But whatever, whenever, it is good to start from somewhere. They can start now to remove all that. so that we have a clean, yes, a clean size of government. And then on our expectation of the on Tinubu government, me, I'm not expecting too much, because if you see the work that is in this Nigeria and you see the desperation, you begin to wonder why people should be running. They should be begging you to come and walk. But for you to be this desperate with all the problems that is in this Nigeria, I'm not expecting anything, my dear. I'm not expecting so much. But if I see anything good, I will applaud them. But on my own, I'm not expecting anything wonderful.
All right, Mary.
Because of the level of desperation. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much. Let's go on a quick break. Mm.